Can we turn, please, to Luke chapter 2 and the passage that Tony read for us a bit earlier? And of course, we've come now to the situation that the Lord Jesus Christ has been born. And the narrative of Luke's Gospel now takes us out of Bethlehem into the countryside. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And of course we know, don't we, that David, of course Bethlehem, the city of David, David had been a shepherd there at Bethlehem. And we read this in 1 Samuel, chapter 16 and verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all these young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." Jacob was a shepherd, and Moses for a time was a shepherd. Now, some people maintain and believe that shepherds were somehow a despised group. But that really doesn't concern us. It's indeed, these shepherds were there tending sheep. And that was their job. That was their occupation. And it tells us there they were keeping watch. They were doing their ordinary job, their everyday job, this is their every night job, faithfully. They were keeping watch on these sheep that they had to care for. And that would mean, if you're keeping watch, you're wide awake. They weren't having a kip round the corner somewhere. They were wide awake, watching these sheep. And they were going about, if you like, their appointed task. This is what they were employed for. This is what they were paid for. But then something happened that would change their lives forever. And we read that, of course, in verse 9. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Suddenly, with dramatic swiftness, and remember, these shepherds were going about their normal business. Who knows what may happen to one of us as we go about our normal business? And in all probability, we can only speculate, the angel was probably in the air over their heads. This was clear evidence from heaven. And the glory of the Lord was shining all around. Night as bright as day. What a contrast. On the night of the Lord's birth, the night turned into day. On the day of the Lord's death, day turned into night. It says that they were greatly afraid. I'm not surprised. I imagine if an angel appeared to us in the way that this angel appeared to them, I think we would be not only amazed, but frightened. Possibly even terrified, who knows? One shouldn't be. condemning of their reaction. For all they knew, this angel could come with a message of judgment. And one thing about the glory of God, it does show, and it must have revealed to these shepherds what sinners they were. The huge separation there was between the glory of God, the wide gulf there was between God and man. But indeed, there is no message of judgment. Because they're told in verse 10, fear not, don't be afraid. I've got good news for you. I've got good tidings for you. This news will bring you great joy. And joy shall then go to all people. Fear not. And we need to apply that to ourselves. I don't expect an angel to appear to us. But we go into an uncertain future as a church. Maybe our health situation. I do personally hope I go into a better situation next year than I did this year. But it is a lesson, isn't it? That these things can happen to us at any time. Fear not, the Lord says. And maybe we are concerned about the situation for peace in the world. The Ukraine and the Middle East. The Lord says, fear not. We look to Him for all that we need. And we've got good tidings, haven't we? I should think we've received good tidings. The gospel. And here's a message, not of judgment, but one of merciful, loving kindness. It is indeed a matter of great joy. In 1 Peter 1 verse 8 we read this, whom having not seen ye love, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know there's no greater joy than being a Christian? Joy, of course, is a fruit of the Spirit. And we should be a joyous people. We should not go around with hang-dog expressions and, you know, looking miserable as possible. We are a joyful people. We have the Lord. What's the good news? What's the angel going to say to these shepherds? Well, do you know, today, in the city of David, in other words, just down the road there in Bethlehem, there's been born a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. Not anywhere, not in a palace in Jerusalem, in the city of David, in Bethlehem. And someone very, very special has been born. Born where, of course, it had been foretold. And what is it? It is a Saviour who has been born. That's what the world needs, is a Saviour. We don't need a reformer. We don't need an advisor. We need a Saviour, a Redeemer, who is Christ the Lord. He is the Anointed, the Messiah. Here is a babe just a few hours old, declared to be the Messiah, the Lord, God Himself, the supreme eternal being, the ruler of heaven and earth. He's staying there in a, well, we don't know that yet, we haven't come to that bit. He's staying there in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, we read this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim an acceptable year of the Lord." And so what does the angel do? He doesn't just leave them there, he gives them some information. This is a sign. This is a sign for you. We read about it there, do we not, in verse 12. "This babe will be wrapped in swaddling clothes." There's nothing unusual about that. They still do it today in some hospitals. "But he will be lying in a manger." That's the sign. The swaddling cloths and the manger. A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. What a paradox. This glorious person is wrapped up in swaddling clothes. It's a reminder, isn't it? Humility is the only way into God's kingdom. Hey, we need to seek to be more humble in our ministry, in our service, in our lives for Christ. Now, suddenly, one angel is joined with a multitude. It says there, a multitude with a heavenly host. Well, I don't know what a multitude is. Well, I know what a multitude is. It's usually a lot, isn't it? But I don't know how many. But, well, they're all there saying, it's interesting, they're saying, not singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The hosts of heaven praise God for His wondrous love to mankind. And the glory of God always comes first. And we see the glory of God here in the design of God in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, promoting the glory of God in heaven. Peace and goodwill towards men. Sadly, man is in a state of hostility with heaven. And also with each other. And we've only got to listen to the news to know that. The carnal mind is in enmity with God. But it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can be reconciled, firstly with God Himself, and then perhaps with each other. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation." Tells us in the scriptures, there is no peace for the wicked. There's an awful lot of people who go around somehow thinking everything's fine. We'll have a good Christmas. What's on the telly? I expect there's a Strictly Come Dancing special. Oh, I must watch that. Oh, yes. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, the only thing we had to be absolutely silent for, my grands, was the Queen speech. But that's but that's Christmas. Or a great big... Well, they tell me turkeys are on the way out now, but whatever, a turkey, lamb, beef. A great big feast. Lots and lots of sweets and chocolates and all sorts of lovely things. And then it's gone, isn't it? We're back to square one. And back to having to pay for what we've just indulged in. What a tragedy it is. What a blessing it is to be able to celebrate Christmas with Christ. I'm not saying we all go around and don't have anything different. I know we don't have egg and chips on Christmas Day. But what a difference it is. No peace for the wicked, for the ungodly, for the unsaved. People do all sorts of things for peace today, don't they? How long have they been talking about peace in Ukraine? Having meetings. This drawn-out, I'll get out of it, peace process in the Middle East. Peace talks between this lot and that lot and this lot and that. And they don't seem to get very there. And then someone goes and does something and it's all back to square one again. I'm sure there's an awful lot of people that live around this church who would long for peace. Long for peace in their own lives. Peace in their mind. Peace in their families. It amazes me the number of families that are at war. Peace with their neighbours, perhaps. Peace with society. Come to faith in Christ and you can have that. You can know true peace. And what a blessing it is. Because when you come to faith in Christ, and I'm sure you can all testify to this to me, we have the peace of a guiltless conscience. What a blessing that is. To have a guiltless conscience. Of course, it probably needs repentance, prayers of repentance daily. What a blessing. And we can only have peace with men, perhaps in our families, whatever, if we first have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Goodwill. That means kindness. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 it says this. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Goodwill has led to us being adopted in Christ. And in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. We are truly blessed, you and I, this morning. To know the kindness of God. So, we've had this visit from the angels. And it tells us in verse 15, they've now gone back to heaven. And the shepherds are left there. I mean, they must be absolutely amazed. What's happened? And so what do they do? Do they just think, well, that's it. We go back to looking after the sheep, eh? No, they decide, let's go down to Bethlehem. It's just down the road. Let's go down there. And let's go and see. See what's happened. Let's see if we can find what's come to pass. And off they go. Let's go. Let's go and see this man, this reconciler of God and man. They didn't have to go, of course. They could have stayed put. There's no doubt though. Let us go. No indecision. No, well, should we? Shouldn't we? Perhaps we should. No, maybe not. You know, no indecision. Let us go. And it tells us in verse 16, they made haste. You know, they didn't go out as though they had a stroll on a Sunday afternoon. They made haste. Because they wanted to see. And by, they then found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They made haste. They came quickly. Do you know, obedience always brings blessings. I want to read you something that was written by J.C. Ryle. And he's commenting on that verse where they say they came with haste. This is what J.C. Ryle says. Well, he's quoted somebody else, but anyway. This is a touching comment on this conduct of the shepherds in a letter of Bishop Hooper's to certain godly and faithful prisoners which were taken together at prayer in a house at Bow Churchyard. He says, read the second chapter of St. Luke, and there you shall see how the shepherds that watched their sheep at night, as soon as they heard that Christ was born at Bethlehem, by and by must go to see him. They did not reason nor debate with themselves who should keep the wolf from the sheep in the meantime, but did as they were commanded and committed their sheep to him whose pleasure they obeyed. So let us do, nay we be called, let us commit all other things unto him that called us. He will take heed that all things shall be well. He will help the husband, he will comfort the wife, he will guide the servants, he will keep the house, he will preserve the goods, yea, rather than it should be undone, he will wash the dishes and rock the cradle. That was from Hooper's Works, Parker Edition, Volume 2, page 617, if you ever wish to avail yourself of that. But that's the thing, obedience always brings blessing. And no doubt these shepherds probably had a chat with Mary and Joseph, and they told them about the visit from the angels. Had they received the word? And what the Lord had done for them. What a blessing it is to share with one another what the Lord has done, what the Lord is doing, what we trust the Lord will do. How it can strengthen our faith. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ in the manger. I've got a quote here. A wonder of wonders, astonished I gazed to see in the manger the Ancient of Days. And so they make this visit. But it tells us there, when they had seen him, the Lord Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They must have been perhaps one of the first gospel preachers. I wonder what their text was. Probably verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. They were sharing the good news because they'd met the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the question for us. Have we met the Lord Jesus Christ? And in Acts chapter 4, this is what they say. This is the testimony of Peter and John. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. When we think of what Christ has done for us, is doing, and ultimately will do, how can we stay silent? And then, of course, as people listened, all those who heard it were marvelled at these things which were told them by the shepherds. The response of their hearers. They didn't just say a load of nonsense. I suspect there were some that said, this, you know, they've been having, you know, had too much of one thing and the other. But there were people that did listen. There were no doubt people that did respond. You see, these shepherds were ordinary, honest men. They weren't theologians. They weren't the religious elite of the day. Very similar today, isn't it? If you want to hear the gospel, go to an ordinary, basic gospel church. To plain, ordinary men, you'll hear the gospel. You won't hear it in a cathedral. You won't hear it on Christmas morning when the archbishop gets up and spates forth. What a tragedy. What a waste of opportunities. What a waste. What an absolute waste. And it tells us there that as they shared, people marvelled at these things. And maybe that marvelling made them inquire more and more. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I'm sure Mary must have told Luke what had happened. I'm sure Luke went and had a chat with her and wrote it all down, inspired, of course, by the Holy Spirit. Mary couldn't understand everything, but she pondered on them. She thought about them. And she received it all with faith. Why does this happen? Why did we, Nikki and I, have to go through what we've done this year? It's all in the Lord's hand and purposes. What does the hymn say? I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at my right hand stands one who is my Saviour. And on a personal note of testimony, I can say that neither of us have felt deserted by the Lord through this year. Indeed, we felt His presence so, so close at times. You could almost touch it. God is so faithful to us, His children. And we finished the course with the shepherds. They returned, went back to their work, I suppose. But they didn't go back as they once were. They went back glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. They went back to their jobs. They went back to their flock. But they were totally and utterly changed men. They glorified God. They shared their experiences. But you notice they went back. They went back to what they were called to do. Shepherds. And I just want to close with five things. And someone wrote these down. These are not my thoughts. But I found this in a little booklet and I wrote these down. Five things about these shepherds. One, they were eager listeners. Two, they were instant seekers. Three, they were ardent believers. Four, they were relevant worshippers. And five, they were earnest preachers. And I just close with a question. What about us? In our sad and sorry position as a church, as we look around and see all the empty pews, and the people walking by, backwards and forwards. They open this world. What about us for next year? Well, may the Lord guide and lead us, if he gives us next year.